Welcome everybody to Blake and Greg's ACC-SCC Weekly Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Greg.
And I'm Blake.
And as we mentioned in the ACC episode, which you can also check out, feel free to do so, we're coming at you a little earlier than normal, which is probably about as early as we should be doing it every week, but we just haven't really had the chance to this season so far. But we wanted to get this out so that you guys would have a chance to listen well before the game start this weekend. Also, maybe you guys will have a chance to listen as you're traveling or, as we mentioned, cooking, you know, pumpkin pie or whatever. Put your headphones in. I don't know if we'll be worth listening. Yeah, I don't know if we'll be worth listening to. That's to be decided.
No, it's probably not.
Well, and it doesn't help that we had a lackluster slate of games, Blake, as we just talked about before we started recording. Only three games in the SEC with a line this week. However, the games next week, or this coming weekend, I should say, are very interesting. But in the meantime, let's get through some of these, Blake. Bama beaten.
To the listeners, Greg, that if the SEC-ACC rivalry game is the home team, will be covered in the appropriate podcast. So if the ACC team is a home team, it'll be in the ACC podcast. If the SEC team is a home team, it's in the SEC podcast.
Correct. Yeah, just so you know.
It's a game, and it ain't here, it's in the other one.
You know, we talk too much as it is. We didn't need to combine both in the same one. However, next week we will. Next week it'll be combined.
Yeah, it'll be a combination.
Because we'll have a handful of games to talk about and then only two games to predict. So next week we'll combine that. So, Blake, let's get off and running here. Let's talk Bama beating up Western Carolina 66-3. Now, this is a little more offensive output than either of us expected.
Mm-hmm.
You said 55-7. I said 45-9. But, Blake, I'm going to be honest with you. Alabama could have one of us out there throwing left-handed, and still they were never going to lose this game. Not to Western Carolina, but is there anything that we can draw from this in any way, shape, or form?
No, I think if you're a Bama fan, you're happy that Mac Jones is healthy for the next game because that's what you're – I mean
– True.
You're probably happy that you at least didn't get banged up.
Yeah, so
other than that, nothing.
Yes, smooth sailing for Bama going into the Iron Bowl. Speaking of the Iron Bowl – Auburn beat up on Samford 52-0 on their way to the Iron Bowl. And again, this is, you know, it's going to be kind of a broken record this week. I don't know how much there is to talk about here. This was expected. In fact, you said 45-9. I said 52-10. So we're very close.
Yeah, very close. Very good.
I don't know. I don't have anything to say.
No, I have nothing.
All right. Vandy beating East Tennessee State. First of all, Vandy getting a win is a pretty notable thing this season. 3-8 now, and they won 38-0. Got to feel good if you're a Vandy fan. In fact, Blake, you were pretty close. 35-7 was your pick for this game. Nicely done.
Not bad, eh?
No line on this game. Vandy, the big news is they have kept Mason on for another year. I don't remember if that was announced last week. We had announced that on podcast last week or not. But that is the big news. Maybe Vandy is, you know, felt a little rigor from having a little more stability. Don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you an interesting story about Vandy, Blake,
because
you know I was in Nashville last week.
Yeah, that's right. You were.
And I didn't go to the campus. I'd actually like to see it, but I didn't have a car there and just didn't make sense. And I was staying right downtown. And on Sunday, after I had to check out of my hotel, it was too early to go to the airport. So I went downtown and just kind of got, you know, me and my wife kind of went and got like a brunch and you know, had a drink or two. And it was a really cool bartender at one of these places, a really touristy place. But this place was so touristy, Blake, or so close to the main hub, I could see Nissan Stadium out the window from my spot at the bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, across the river, I could see it. People who've been in Nashville before, it's Acme. It's one of the
– Is there the Titans play?
Yeah, and the Titans were playing that day, actually. They're playing Jacksonville.
Wow.
If anybody's been to Nashville, you know what I'm talking about. Acme is a touristy spot, but nevertheless, you kind of have to. I had never been to Nashville, so I kind of had to go. And so, of course, the only people in there, or I shouldn't say the only, but the only fans that you could discern were Jacksonville fans, because they were kind of the same as me. You know, going to a new city, you got to go to the touristy spot.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to the bartender a little bit, and I asked him, I said, I'll bet you've seen pretty much every fan base here. You know, they probably, a lot of them come here. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, who are the worst fan bases? And he said, man, he said, Kansas City fans, he said, Buffalo fans, he said, they go hard. He said, I don't know what it is. He said, those fans go hard. And he goes, but you know, he goes, to be honest, the worst fans, Vandy fans.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, just entitled. And I thought, wow. Now, on the one hand, he is at a disadvantage because he's not seeing – you know, Harvard fans and Duke fans and some of these other schools that might be worse. He's seeing the ones that are around the corner from him every week. But on the other hand, he's had enough experience. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Other than that, I don't have anything to say about this game.
No, me neither.
All right, how about one of the only games of the line this week, Georgia beating Texas A&M 19-13. The line was Georgia by 13.5. We've both gotten smart enough to usually take the opponent and the points against Georgia, and that's been a pretty good strategy for both of us. You said 27-17. I said 24-17. What do you think of this game, Blake?
Kind of just a typical Georgia game. I mean, they kind of jumped up on them. A&M had a little flurry to kind of get close within six, and then Georgia ended up just, you know, I mean, doing what they had to do to win the game. I mean, it's just typical Georgia, very bland offensive game plan, play good defense, and kind of like old, it's kind of like Bama circa 2009. How they play, it's just different. I don't know that you could win a championship playing that kind of football. I don't think you can anymore. But I will say that Georgia's at least got the horses to attempt to do it. But I was impressed. I was impressed that they stuck to their game plan and were successful, I guess. But not impressed by their lack of offensive imagination.
True. They're sort of like LSU a couple of years ago. If you can,
very similar.
You know, it's sort of weird how that's happened. But so Blake, Georgia approached this game probably the same way I would against A&M. I'd probably say let's stop the run and let's see if Kellen Mond can beat us, because some weeks he'll show up and some weeks he won't. And this week they stopped the run. In fact, Blake, A&M had 20 carries for -2 yards.
Yeah.
So as the old, our favorite game day sign would say, Blake, we had more rushing yards than A&M last week.
Yes, yes.
And however, Mond had a pretty decent game, 25 for 42, 275 yards, one touchdown, no picks.
Played well.
But that's not enough. It's just not balanced enough against this very stingy Georgia team. It is enough, however, to give them a scare. Georgia is the kind of team where they can just get a lead on you and then just kind of drag you and grind it out and end up getting
in. The offensive line, those running backs. I don't know. I don't understand sometimes, though. You know, when you play that style of football, you don't have much margin for error.
No, you don't.
I don't understand. Because, I mean, look, at South Carolina, a team that they're superior to, didn't work.
Correct.
You know, a couple turnovers, next thing you know, they lose. So when you play that style of football, it's like, I don't know, Virginia in basketball. That style of play, yeah, it's effective, but, man, it's risky.
Right. What if A&M gets the ball first, takes an early 7-0 lead, and then you have a fumble or an interception or something, and then they punch it in. Maybe 10-0. Yep. Now all of a sudden your game plan changes, and that's not what you're used to. And you can make more mistakes sometimes doing that when it's not, you know, when you're put out of your comfort zone. I agree with you. It can work, and it probably will work. Not against everybody.
I guess the elite teams, I don't think it will work.
And not against everybody, and not if you make mistakes, yeah.
Yep, and I think we're going to find this out pretty soon.
Maybe in about 10 days or so.
Yeah.
All right, anything else we can say about this?
Yeah, it's pretty much covered it, man.
So, well, the one thing I will say is Georgia, as we know, is 10-1, most likely going to be 11-1 going into the SEC championship game. A&M, on the other hand, 7-4, and as we know, they have probably the two toughest last games in the country, where they played No. 4 Georgia this past weekend. They went to Athens to play No. 4 Georgia, and then this week they go to LSU to play No. 1 LSU.
And they already went to No. 3 Clemson earlier in the season.
Yes. They were No. 1 at the time.
Yep. And then played Bama
at home. So, yes, they are the
top three at the time. So
Bama was one. They were No. 1 at the time.
Oh, my God.
So they are actually the first team in history to play 3 No. 1s in the regular season.
That's incredible.
And don't forget, Blake, they also went to No. 4 Georgia this past week. So, yeah, this is the toughest schedule. And also played Auburn at home, No. 8 Auburn at home.
Yeah, it's a breather, according to what they've already played.
Yeah, exactly. So, tough going for A&M.
Jimbo's done a good job this year, man. He has.
Yeah, actually.
Because they probably won't finish 7-5, but with that schedule, 7-5 is pretty good.
The one thing that you can say – And you mentioned this, is that the defense has been solid, and the other thing that USS, so two things. The other thing you can say is they beat everybody they were supposed to beat this year. Yep. And with the schedule they have, when you're playing three number ones, a number four, and a number eight, there's really no shame in losing any of those games. Now, it'd be nice to win one, but it's not embarrassing to lose all those games.
Exactly.
So they beat everybody they're supposed to beat, and they will most likely lose to everybody they were supposed to lose to. That's all right.
Yeah, they had a good year, in my opinion.
Now, is it enough to keep A&M fans happy? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if
I hope so because of the – yeah, I would hope so, man. I really would, could – it'd be hard for me to think that their fans would be – upset that in year two, was it year two of Jimbo, I guess?
Year two.
Yeah, the 7-5 going to a bowl, chance to win eight games and play three number one teams, a number four, and a number eight. I mean,
the only thing you're gonna get some bad fans who are gonna say we're paying him more per year in millions than games we won, you know? And actually you can't say that about too many schools. Most schools are not paying their coach more millions than games they're winning. But
you have to realize that, hey, look, you hired him. You gave him a 10-year contract, correct?
Correct.
So I think after year two, you're not expecting the product to be where you think it could be. I think you think of more year four or five. So,
and also just the schedules is just brutal. You can't help that years in advance when it's set. All right. Anything else with this game?
No, that's about it.
All right, let's talk Kentucky blasting Tennessee Martin 50-7 was the final score of this game. No line on this game. We both picked Kentucky pretty big. Not this big, but pretty big. What can we say about this? The only thing that comes to my mind is that now you've got a fully bowl-eligible Kentucky team waiting to host an interesting Louisville team next week,
yep.
Which we'll talk. I can't wait to talk about in the next segment. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't have a whole lot to say.
No, there is, except our – I mean, they beat our people, the Martins.
Yeah.
So I'm not happy about that. So,
Fair. All right, how about LSU spanking Arkansas? Oddly enough, with all the lopsided games, Blake, this did have a line, LSU by 44. And, Blake, I thought it was interesting. Neither one of us took LSU to cover that. We both took Arkansas and the points. Yeah, 44 is a lot. 56-20 is a final score here. Yeah. You said, man, 55-17. Nicely done, Blake.
Yeah,
I said 42-7, but either way, we both picked Arkansas on the points, yep. Which, by the way, Blake, we're both 3-0 against the spread this week.
Awesome.
Yes, and I needed it. Actually, Blake, let me do this calculation real quick, because I did this for you last week. I didn't do it this week. Let me see something real quick. You are – hang on. Let's see. 65%, Blake.
Sweet.
So far, against the spread. Very, very good. I'm three games over 500, 41-38. You're 48-31. So I'm about a game and a half, actually, over 500, but you're well over 500. But nicely done there, Blake. Is there anything we can talk about with LSU and Arkansas?
No, just I'll say this. The game Edwards-Helaire had, rushing them all 6 for 188, I think it was.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good game. I think that's pretty good yards per carry there. So I think he is actually establishing himself as the best back in the SEC, and that includes Swift, and that includes what's his name for Bama?
Harris.
Harris? All of them. I think he's probably the best in the SEC.
He's very good, Blake. I'll say this, not to take anything away from him, but when you got a guy completing almost 80% of the passes,
true.
The running lanes do open up a little
bit
more.
But he does so much.
He does. You're right. You're right.
He does so much, and I'm just really impressed with him.
So we did get
Bill.
An email from our buddy Bill, who said, here's an amazing stat. LSU racked up 600 yards with just 20 minutes of possession. That is true. That's amazing. It was Arkansas, but it is still mind-boggling. The pundits and fans are justifiably down on the defense. I've never seen LSU miss so many tackles and be out of position so frequently, but I don't care. This is the most magical time in LSU football history. As
wow.
A bold statement. Burrow is
kind of a bold statement.
Burrow is so tough and accurate. The receiver ballet and Edwards-Helaire make the perfect trifecta. He says, do I want to win it all? You bet. But just going to the SEC playoff, I guess he means championship game, is enough to get me stoked. I think the LSU offense versus Georgia defense is going to make for one hell of a game. I do too.
I do too.
Can't wait to talk about it in a week. And he says the ultimate goal is for LSU or Clemson to beat the crap out of Herb Street's the Ohio State. It's funny. It's funny how we all share a hatred for Ohio State. It's interesting. Blake, there are some teams where you can't be neutral about them. You know, Ohio State's one of those teams. And then he says, actually, I'm going to read his last part later. But for now, Bill, I agree with you. I don't know about the most glorious time in LSU history. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm not there yet. I mean, because you do have some trophies in that case, but there's certainly the potential. I think Blake would agree.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a great year. Yeah. I mean, that's a tall statement by Bill to say this, the most glorious time to be a fan in history, but he's been a fan for a lot longer than either one of us have, so he has more inside knowledge than we do. I hear him. If I was a fan, it'd be awesome, because as far as thinking to yourself, my coach is 10-3 against top 10 teams. I think he is. 10-3?
Not 9-3. But who's counting? Okay. Yeah, who knows?
9-3 against top 10 teams. Pretty exciting time to be an LSU fan. Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about that.
And actually, we talked about this in the ACC podcast. We're going to pose it here, too. It's a sort of an odd question, but we're talking – if you want a little bit more information, check out the ACC podcast. We give a few more examples than we'll probably give here. But is there a game that any of you can remember that was indicative of a sort of a turning point in that team's history? And I know that's kind of a strange question, but for instance, Blake would say with LSU, what, in 2000 against Tennessee, the overtime game?
Yes, to me it was. I mean, as far as just being a football fan, when it was like, I think in September of 2000, LSU beat Tennessee at home in Baton Rouge, and they were a pretty big dog, I think. They just lost to a directional school, I think, or somebody like that. And they won it in Saban's first year. And you know, how they won was pretty incredible. You know, Rohan Davey and Josh Reed and those guys. But to me, that kind of set the path to what they end up doing and what they continue to do right now. And like you said earlier, with Clemson, and I talked about South Carolina. And so if you have any idea or any, you know, I don't know if suggestion's the right word, but...
Suggestion's not bad. And because I would say... I like that game in 2000, but I do wonder if the Bluegrass Miracle is more indicative. I'm curious what Bill's thoughts are. To give us some other examples, I think Bama's sort of coming out party was when they spanked Clemson the first game of 08 in the Chick-fil-A Classic or whatever. Blake, I think Michigan honestly hasn't been the same since App State beat them. I think
you make a case for that. Absolutely,
they were in the elite category. In fact, I think they were top five that game, and they haven't really been back there consistently since then. You know, that was sort of like, let's see, another example. I would say, Bill, sorry, Clemson's coming out party was sort of against LSU in the Peach Bowl back in 2011, 2012, whenever that was.
Well, let me ask you a question. I feel you on that, because I think. I agree with you a lot on that. The Auburn game when you beat Auburn and Dabo had that Ric Flair promo?
I think it was LSU. In fact, Blake, I think it was the 4th and 18 where Taj Boyd threw the ball.
Okay, to Hopkins.
I think that was the moment. I think I can nail it down that much. But wow. I'm curious, you know, and we mentioned Florida State had one, and maybe Miami had one, and we mentioned sort of those. I'm curious if especially Bill, since we had LSU in mind, if Bill's got any ideas, when he saw that, and hey, this year probably against Alabama is that moment, depending on what happens from here on out. But in the past,
I got one for you.
All right,
how about when Texas Tech beat Texas when Crabtree's played?
Was that the downfall? Well, they played for the national championship a year or two later.
My bad, you're right about that.
If not, that'd be a really good example. Yeah,
that's right. You're right, though. The next year they kind of fell off, I think, in 2010,
right. So
that wouldn't be one. Damn it, I thought I had one.
No, that was a good one, because that could have been, because that was such an iconic game, an iconic moment. So one of those like passing of the torch sort of things, not necessarily where the one team that loses starts to suck or the one team that wins starts to really be good, but where you can look back and say, you know, that was the game where things changed, either in a good or a bad way. Sometimes it's hard to define, but
I got one maybe.
All right.
Virginia Tech got spanked by Clemson in the ACC championship game in 2011.
That's a good example. They haven't been the same since then.
Yep. Okay. Yep. I agree with that.
That's a good example. In fact, Blake, because Clemson spanked them twice that year.
Beat them in Blacksburg 20 like 23-3 or something?
Something like that. But the ACC championship game was worse.
Like 37-10. It was bad. It was an ass.
It was never in doubt. That's a good example.
They haven't been the same since then. Yeah, that's a good. That's true. They haven't been. Yeah.
And there are some teams that are up and down every year. They don't really don't trend like we're talking about, and we're not talking about
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about forever, obviously, but if I'm curious. Because I think with some teams there are those moments you can point to, and a lot of teams there aren't. But anyway, if you got any ideas about those, drop us a line. We're curious. All right, Blake, any more about LSU, Arkansas?
Nah.
Okay. Mississippi State beat Abilene Christian. And by the way, we got to give a shout out to our buddy Matt in Texas. Didn't know he was a listener. He appreciated our joke last week about Abilene Christian. Blake, you had another name for ACU. You thought you were
I can't beat that, but the Fighting Scotty Rattlers. I can't beat the Ken McKillops, but I can say that at least because that's more my time frame reference compared to you.
Fair. Yeah. But anyway, shout out.
It's the Fighting Ken McKillops, but not on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday of the month or whatever it was, when the Clash of Champions.
Indeed,
it's not good, and I think Matt will understand that.
Yeah, so shout out to Matt in Texas, actually an ACU alum and rabid A&M fan. Didn't know you listened, buddy. Been a long time. Good to hear from you. Mississippi State beat Abilene Christian, the Fighting Scotty Ratliffs, 45-7. We're actually pretty close to this. You said 52-14. I said 49-6.
I saw the score flash up. It was like 21-7 third quarter. I was like, oh, my God, can we see it? One of the biggest upsets in football history. And I was really pulling for it, but the Fighting McKillops couldn't get it done.
Football gods did not allow.
I never thought I'd ever see ACU play an SEC team.
Yeah.
See, things have changed since I've been in Texas for a long time.
Indeed. And so now, Blake, we've got an interesting matchup forthcoming because, as you know, Egg Bowl, which is the first game that either of us will see in the ACC or SEC this weekend, Egg Bowl is coming up on Thanksgiving, is tradition, as we know. And it is at Mississippi State. And by the way, Blake, Mississippi State, 5-6. Guess what Ole Miss is?
5-6.
Actually, Ole Miss is 4-7.
Oh, four. There's 5-6 then.
So Ole Miss is fighting to be spoiler. Mississippi State fighting to go to a bowl.
They're 4-7. That's a good 4-7 team.
I know, right? So we'll talk about that in the next segment. I don't think you have much to say about this game, though, do you?
No, I just think Ole Miss is 4-7, and so is South Carolina. Ole Miss would beat South Carolina by 17 points right now.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
And lastly, let's talk about Tennessee beating Missouri 24-20. The line on this, Mizzou by 5. We both picked Tennessee with the outright upset. Good job, Blake. You said Tennessee 24-23. I said 28-21. We're really on our game this week. I'm proud of us.
3-0, baby.
Next week is much more difficult. But
yes.
So we haven't gotten anything from Mizzou CK. I hope he's all right.
Look, I get it. I'm a fan of a team that sucks, and he is too. So it's just not fun. You know, it isn't fun, and you wonder where you go. I think if you're Mizzou, I think you need to let Derek Dooley go. I think it's time to go in a different direction on offense.
CK would agree.
Yep, and I'm not ready to fire Odom yet. I think you need to get one more year with a new guy on offense because he was a lot better with Josh Heupel. Remember, and of course, he took the job at Central Florida. So then you say, okay, let's. And Derek Dooley, man, look, he's. I've never been a big fan of his. I mean, he's. I'm not saying he's a coach altogether, but his scheme. I'm not a big fan of his scheme. He was like the, QB coach of the Cowboys or something. I don't know. I'm just not big on that. So, time to move on from Dooley. And if you're Tennessee, man, Pruitt and that team has really turned things around. I have to give them a lot of credit. They got good wideouts. They're an improving team. Guantanamo's playing good ball right now. So,
speaking of which, yeah. So Bill actually says, and we'll actually use this as a segue. My pick for Hall of Shame, me talking about himself. for discounting and writing off Tennessee. Bill, I agree, and I think we're both guilty of that.
The same way, too. The same way, yeah.
He says, what a turnaround. They looked like a pro team against Mizzou, except when they were shooting themselves in the foot with penalties and fumbles. Guantanamo, it's funny he calls him Guantanamo, too. Guantanamo had a career game. My money is that he will hit the portal at the end of the season. That's an interesting thought.
Interesting thought.
I hadn't thought about that.
No, but Bill's ahead of us there, and he may be right, because him and Pruitt don't seem to see eye to eye, so he may... Because he is a redshirt junior, right?
I think that's what he is. Yes. So
he could transfer, yeah, if he graduates.
And so who needs a quarterback? Well, Mizzou.
A lot of teams.
Mizzou needs a quarterback. Heck, yeah.
NC State.
NC State needs a quarterback.
Georgia Tech?
Definitely.
I don't know where he's from, but you could probably say, I think he's from Jersey. So would he want to, well, West Virginia. They don't have anybody.
Nope.
A lot of teams need a quarterback. That's mm-hmm. the thing. A lot of teams do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, or he could go to Oklahoma and become the next Jalen Hurts or whatever and make a boatload of money on the next level.
I ain't Jalen Hurts, but
so Link, I guarantee you.
He'll be better under Lincoln Riley.
He's better under Riley. Yes. Yes, he would be.
Agreed.
There's no doubt about it.
Agreed. So let's actually use that as a segue into Hall of Fame and Hall of Shame, unless you have more to say about this game.
No. Done.
All right. So. I do, yeah, so I mentioned your stunning numbers against the spread, Blake. Nicely done. My Hall of Fame, actually, so Bill put himself in the Hall of Shame for downplaying Tennessee. I actually put Tennessee and Guantanamo in the Hall of Fame this week for the same reasons, and I said, I got to eat some crow. It is incredible how they've turned it around this year, and it was also pretty incredible how Guantanamo has been playing this last half of the year. So Tennessee, we're talking about a team, Blake, now is bowl-bound, which neither of us would have expected. Blake, this is a team that started off 1-4.
Yeah.
Now, two of those losses were to Florida and Georgia, excusable. One was to Georgia State, one was to BYU.
Yep.
And Blake, they've won the last four games. They've won five of the last six. The one they lost was to Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So clearly an acceptable loss.
Yes. I agree totally. And I got Jeremy Pruitt in my Hall of Fame.
Go for it.
And you know, we talked about this last segment, of course, but Pruitt, I'm a guy, I'm not a big Pruitt guy. Not saying he can't coach, but he negatively recruits. I don't like negative recruiters. I don't like that. And he does that. And I think he bitches too much, you know, dirty games and stuff. He gets on my nerves. But done a heck of a job this year. Got to give him credit for that. He's a good football coach. No doubt about that. He's just, I'm not a big fan of his personally. But I can't deny he's done a good job this year. And the team that lost to Georgia State, BYU, sort of 1-4. You were thinking this team's a 4-8 kind of team.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe even worse. Yeah, maybe worse. And is Pruitt gone? Do they go another direction? Now all of a sudden they're going to a bowl. And, I mean, Pruitt's in he's on firm footing there now. And I have to give him credit for not allowing his team to quit.
I mean, we're talking about a team that, like I said, started off 1-4. Actually started off, Blake, 2-5.
Yep.
And they have a chance to go to win 8 games this year.
Yep. Yep, he does.
And
I will say this, though. He runs a renegade program, and that will come back to bite him.
Probably, yes. But it is pretty incredible with the kind of turnaround that they've had.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. They did a great job.
So let's talk Hall of Shame, Blake. Who deserves more shame than they're getting this week?
Actually, I just mentioned it in the last segment. Derek Dooley in Missouri, not a big fan of his. He was not successful at, you know, Tennessee as coach. He went to coach in the pros, I think, as an assistant for Dallas for a while. And I've never been a big fan of his. I think a lot of it, I'm not saying he doesn't know football, but a lot of his appeal is because of who his dad is, in my opinion. Of course, Vince Dooley. So I just never was a big fan of his. And I didn't think that, I thought moving from Josh Heupel to Dooley was a strange, strange bridge. You know, it didn't feel right because of what Dooley does. And what, I mean, Heupel liked to do. And it hasn't worked out, I don't think. And Bryant's had an off year. But Bryant needs a system different than what they do, you know. And I don't think he's putting Bryant in the best chance to succeed. And I think that's on Dooley. Because Odom's a defensive guy. And I'm sure Dooley has full control of the offense. So I put him on my hot seat. And I think they should You let, I mean, as they say, let him seek, you know, other opportunities, as they say, you know, which I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's he's seeking other opportunities.
Good,
I like that.
Good way to put it. Or moving in a different direction.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, firing, yeah, you don't have to say firing, but yeah. So, Derek Dooley, what about you?
Related, okay. but a little bit of an offshoot. I don't know if you heard this. This is actually sort of hot off the press. I'm going with the NCAA and how they...
Oh, the ruling.
Yes, the ruling. So they upheld their ruling because they're the NCAA. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. Mm. And they're basically beyond reproach. And they don't really... They don't explain their rationale. Yep. They don't... They're not transparent with their rationales at all. They just kind of rubber stamp something you know or yes. And that's basically all you get.
Mm-hmm.
Mizzou, Blake, based on... On other teams and other schools that you've heard of that have you know had violations. This seems very minor. I like to think we've mentioned this a few times. Blake, whatever happened a few years ago at Miami about the guy who was paying for abortions and strippers and whatever, that just went away.
What happened to that?
That just went away. You never heard anything about that.
Oh, because I don't know, Greg. A guy named Paul D was a bigwig in the NCAA, and Paul D was the AD at Miami when that was happening. Maybe that's.
No, but we don't get any transparency with something like that. Yeah. And then Mizzou, you have a tutor who apparently was doing work for some students doing their homework or something.
But it doesn't happen everywhere, really. Come on.
It obviously does. But actually, Mizzou turned themselves in, and the NCAA just said, no, it doesn't matter. You can't have a tutor that does homework for kids. Not to bash on UNC. UNC had fake classes. Genuinely, fake classes. And I understand why the NCAA, I get it, actually, from a technicality standpoint, I get it. But to say that when students do no work is somehow different or better than if students have a tutor do work for them, I don't know. To me, it's a tough argument to make, especially when Mizzou turned themselves in. I gotta put the NCAA in my Hall of Shame this week. In fact, the NCAA has never been in my Hall of Fame.
Or, yeah, well, they shouldn't be. Or when Cam Newton was paid $200,000 to go to Auburn and...
That went away.
I think they could day declare him. So, I mean, you know, look, Brian Bosworth's shirt in the Orange Bowl in 1986 or whenever it was, his shirt, because he was suspended because of steroids. Which he was doing. But his shirt said it all, and I agree with him to this day.
National Communist Association of America.
Yep.
In fact, Blake, you know what we ought to do? We ought to make shirts that just say that and just sell them. Sell them at cost, you know, $7, NCAA, National Communist. Because every school hates the NCAA.
Yes.
And we should just make them in different schools' colors.
That's not a bad idea.
Don't put the logos or the school name on it. Just make them in the colors. Because you can get the colors. You can get the exact colors.
It would be nice to make a few bucks, though.
Actually, it's probably not a bad idea.
No, it really isn't.
In fact, I think the first batch will be in Mizzou colors, actually. I think we'll probably get some sales from Mizzou fans.
Maybe not as many as you used to, because actually back in the day in the 80s, it was actually – people actually viewed communism in a negative light.
Oh, so yeah.
Actually today it seems like there's less of that, unfortunately. But in the good old days, it was kind of frowned upon, and Bosworth did a – I'll always love his shirt. I won't forget it when he was on the sidelines. He just basically put, I mean, give it in the middle finger.
Middle finger, exactly.
Nothing about it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for him because of that.
No, but you got a good point. We got to come up with something else that's a little more universal in this day and age that people hate, sadly. But anyway, Blake, let's take a little break. We'll come back. We'll do predictions in a very difficult week against the spread.
Yep.
All right, Blake, let's talk predictions in probably the most difficult week against the spread that I can think of all season. So we had a lull last week, and we actually had some layups where we were both 3-0. This week, we'll be lucky to go 500. Maybe not you. You have been 500 pretty consistently. Me, I'll be lucky to go 500. Let's talk Egg Bowl first of all.
All right.
Like we mentioned, Blake, one team fighting for a bowl, one team fighting to play. Spoiler. You mentioned that you thought if South Carolina were to play Mississippi State, Mississippi State would win, Ole Miss, I'm sorry. If South Carolina played Ole Miss, that Ole Miss would win by 17, even though Ole Miss is a four-win team. Mississippi State fighting for a bowl, Ole Miss fighting to play. Spoiler, this game is at Mississippi State, and they are a 2.5-point favorite. What do you think, Blake?
The Bulldogs are 2-point or Ole Miss 2-point favorite?
Bulldogs. Mississippi State's 2.5-point
Give me favorite. Ole Miss to win out right on the road, buddy. I think they're a pretty good team. I like their coach. And at the end of the day, sorry, Joe Moorhead, your D-line coach is named Deke Adams, the worst position coach in the country. Give me Ole Miss 23-20.
Oh, interesting. I have a similar score, and I actually went with upset as well. I got Ole Miss outright. I don't know if you can call it an upset in the Egg Bowl. It's always competitive.
Every year.
But, Blake, I think Ole Miss is a better football team.
I do, too.
You have Ole Miss as 4-7. You have Mississippi State one game better. I still think, just based on what I've seen, and I know close losses is a strange term, and maybe it doesn't mean anything, but I think Ole Miss has played better football this year. I think they're a better team. Give me Ole Miss winning outright in a classic 24-23.
I got you. I like that.
All right. Nice. How about Mizzou at Arkansas? Blake, as we know now, we're talking about two teams that, for the seniors, this is the last game they'll ever play. Neither of these teams is going to a bowl. Mizzou, not because if they win, they'd be bowl eligible technically, but as we mentioned, NCAA said no. So they're not going to a bowl. Arkansas, we've known for a while, is not going to a bowl. Mizzou coming into Fayetteville as an 11.5-point favorite. What do you think?
I like Mizzou to win, but I like Arkansas to cover. I mean, Arkansas's bad, but I mean, Mizzou with nothing to play for now, how will they respond? They're not playing good ball. They win, but it's not going to be pretty. Give me Mizzou 28-17.
Okay. I've got a similar score, but I'm on the other side of the line on that. I think Mizzou, no, they don't have a bowl to play for, but at the same time, this may be the one for the seniors. You know, this may be one for the team. Let's try to put a cherry on this season way we can. Against an inferior opponent, even though it is on the road. I think Mizzou will come out with a little bit of fire, if nothing else, just to, kind of win one for the Gipper, sort of,
I hear you.
And nothing else. Give me, so it's very similar, actually. Give me Mizzou 31-17.
Okay, all right.
All right, how about an inter-conference game, Louisville at Kentucky? Kentucky is a 3-point favorite at home. This is a really interesting game.
Yeah. And I think this is going to be very close.
Yes.
But I'm going to take Kentucky to win.
All right.
But I'm taking Louisville in the points. It's going to be that close. Give me Kentucky 24-22. I think this is going to be one of the more entertaining games of the weekend.
You want to hear something funny?
What?
I got Louisville 24-22. So that's very close in what we think the score is going to be.
All right.
I think, Blake, I think Louisville's offense is better than Kentucky's offense. I think Kentucky's
There's no doubt about that.
But I think Kentucky's defense is better than Louisville's defense. How much is the question? I know this is at Kentucky.
That's the key for me at Kentucky. Is that Louisville? I'd flip that.
I know, but this is the ACC homer in me, Blake. I'm picking Louisville outright 24-21. Yeah. But against the spread, we're both picking the same. We're taking Louisville in the points either way.
Yeah.
How about the Iron Bowl, Blake? Bama coming in to Jordan-Hare Stadium as a 4-point favorite. What do you think?
Back Jones to Bama. I got them winning and covering on the road in Jordan-Hare, but a good game, but just too much Bama. Bama 31-24.
Yep, I agree. Similar spread to you. I like Bama to win and cover, but I do think this will be close. I think it's a one-possession game like you.
Yep,
give me Bama 28-21.
Yep, I hear you. I'm the same way.
How about Vandy at Tennessee? Vandy, we know, ain't going anywhere for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, all of a sudden, bowl-eligible team that have a chance to kind of do some big things this season.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in as a 21.5-point favorite, what do you think?
I got Tennessee winning and covering this, Greg.
Yeah.
As crazy as that may sound, that's not really crazy. It's Vandy,
I do too. But, if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, I mean, Vandy's owned them lately, but this year's different. Give me Tennessee 38-14.
Okay. I got Tennessee 42-17. So similar to you. I think, actually, Blake, I think we got a little momentum in Knoxville for the first time in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Guantanamo's playing better. I think the crowd will show up, especially this is sort of a rivalry game. You know, these two teams don't like each other.
Yep, and Vandy's owned it lately.
They have, and it's in Knoxville. I don't know if it'll be a sellout, but I think there'll be a lot of fans there to see this. Give me Tennessee to win and cover those 21.5.
Yep, I'm with you.
How about A&M at LSU? A&M playing the toughest schedule in recorded history this year. Coming in to Baton Rouge as a 17-point underdog. Blake, let me ask you, here's the question. Is LSU going to be looking ahead to the next Saturday's matchup against Georgia, or will they give this game its due diligence?
Well, I think they give the game. I think they give this game its due diligence because they haven't looked ahead yet this year.
True.
They've been very focused. I think they'll continue that. They're at home. The last Tiger walk for those seniors, and Ed Orgeron will be pumping those boys up. I like LSU to win. I like them to cover 45-24.
Yep, I agree. Same reasons. Like you said, Uncle Ed has a good way of a good way or a good I guess tactics to get his guys pumped up. They don't overlook teams. Heck, Blake, when you're 9-3 against top 10 teams, it's very clear.
Yep.
You have the ability to get your guys focused. 17's a lot. I struggled with this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At home, is this game at night or is this game during the day?
I don't know, but I think they'll be ready either way, LSU. I really believe that.
Ooh, it's a 7 o'clock game, so I'm more confident about my pick now.
They're covering.
Give me LSU 42-21.
Yep, I hear you.
All right, how about Florida State at Florida? Florida State is – they've kind of had a Tennessee sort of renaissance, not to the same extent, but, you know, kind of in the same vein this year. They've gotten a lot better as the season's gone along. Florida is a 17-point favorite. What do you think?
I like Florida to win, but I like Florida State in the points. There's too many points in this game. They'll play – I think it's close. I think Florida pulls away, but not enough to cover. So, yes, give me Florida 30-16.
Very close to you. Same thing, Blake. I like Florida to win, but I like Florida State and the point. 17 is an awful lot. Florida also is a good team, but they don't exactly blow teams out typically.
No.
So I like Florida State in the 17 points. Give me Florida 28-13.
Okay.
Very close.
Yep.
All right, Blake. And now the battle of the show every year. Clemson coming to Columbia, South Carolina in a nooner. That's when you know.
Yeah.
It's when you know what the expectation is, at least.
Yeah.
Blake, Clemson's coming in as a 26.5-point favorite. As we know, one of the things that we both love about this rivalry is these two teams don't like each other.
Yeah.
Look forward to this every year. And South Carolina doesn't have a postseason to play for, but they can play spoiler.
Yep.
So I will ask you this, Blake. Just before we get anywhere, if South Carolina were to find a way to win this game, is that the nail in the coffin for Clemson's playoff hopes 100%, or do you think there's still a way Clemson could get in even with a loss?
I think it'd be 100%. I don't think you could survive a loss with South Carolina.
So that could be a lot of motivation right there in and of itself.
It will not be enough.
Not well, maybe. All right, so 26.5 points, Blake. What do you think is going to happen here?
Give me Clemson to win and cover. I've seen both these teams play. One team's well coached on both sides of the ball. One team is not well coached on one side of the ball. One team's deep. The other team's got injury issues. One team's quit pretty much mentally. The other team has really kind of hit their stride. Clemson rolls 42-9 in a blowout.
Interesting. You know, Blake, I did this a little bit differently than I normally do in that I picked what I thought the score was going to be before I looked at the spread.
Okay.
A lot of time, sometimes I'll do that, but a lot of times.
Actually, I deal with this game. I deal with this game too. I don't care what the spread is. It's not enough.
And I thought, I don't know. I kind of struggle with this, Blake, because it's a rivalry game, and sometimes you got to throw the rules out the window when it comes to a rivalry game. But what you said, there's no denying what you said. Clemson is deeper. Clemson does not have injury issues. Clemson is better coached. There's no denying that. Is that worth 26.5 points? I think it is. I think it is. Give me Clemson to win 49-17. Blake, it wouldn't shock me if South Carolina covers that spread. Would not shock me.
Yeah. If that happens, it's going to be on the lower score again, like something like 38-14.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, something like that, because South Carolina can't score much. Or, I mean, they can't score much against App State. So they're not going to be able to score much against Clemson unless they get a pick six or, you know, something like that. You never know. But they got to hold Clemson a little bit on the. And I think they can do that too. It wouldn't surprise me if after the first quarter is 3-0 Clemson.
Yeah.
But then after the second quarter, it's all of a sudden 20-3. But after the third quarter, it's 34-3. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's going to build. I think early they could be competitive, but Clemson will wear South Carolina down and probably get a big play on defense. Next thing you know, it's 41-7, you know, blowout. But I think South Carolina will compete, but it's just they don't have enough.
Fair.
They'll compete for a while, but for like a quarter and a half, and then it's kind of over.
I think that's true, and I think, you know, like you said, South Carolina's just decimated with injuries. Clemson's, on the other hand, has been fresh all year.
It's funny how some schools are always decimated with injuries. Maybe that speaks of the strength and conditioning program.
I don't know. I don't know what it speaks to.
Will bust champ.
Sometimes it's bad luck, but yeah, sometimes you're right.
Yeah, but it ain't bad luck every damn year.
All right. You know what I mean? Let's talk about power rankings, Blake. All right. Starting from the bottom, who is the coveted number 14 spot in the SEC?
Arkansas is still there.
Yep. Sorry, Razorback fans. What about 13?
I still got the Commodores there, Vandy.
Me too. What about 12?
Got South Carolina there right now.
Yeah, I put Mizzou there.
Whoa, wow.
I don't know why.
Both those teams are playing bad football.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
Yeah, both suck.
I got South Carolina at 11. I'm assuming you got Mizzou. What about 10?
Mississippi State.
Same here. 9?
Kentucky.
Ooh, interesting. See, I got Ole Miss at 9. You have a lot of faith in Ole Miss, and that's all right. But we both agree that Ole Miss is higher in the power rankings than Mississippi State. We both picked Ole Miss to win, so that's consistent at least. I've got Kentucky at 8. I'm assuming you got Ole Miss at 8.
I do.
7.
You got Tennessee.
I got the Vols at 7. 6.
Yep. I got Texas A&M.
Yeah, I got Texas A&M too. Isn't it crazy, Blake? 7-5 team is the sixth best team in the SEC, according to us. Or 7-5, maybe after this week, I should say.
Yeah.
How about 5?
Auburn.
Same here. 4?
Florida.
Same here. 3?
Georgia.
Mm-hmm. 2?
Emma.
Yep. And, of course, LSU. So, it's very close between us, but it's definitely settled.
Yeah.
Of course.
The SEC is a much more settled league than the ACC right now.
I agree.
To me, SEC, I mean, pretty much I feel really good about – I feel good about 1 through 14. In the ACC, I feel good about 1 through 3 and then, like, 10 through 14.
Yeah.
That middle part's really tough for me. So the SEC is a lot more defined for me. And frankly, I've actually picked it a lot better this year. Than the ACC. I just think I know it better right now. The ACC, it's still a mystery.
Yes, but you've done, in fairness, two things. Number one, you've done a good job picking in the ACC too. And in fairness, nobody has really done a great job in picking in the ACC. ACC is really, really tough.
It's just, I mean, the Coastal's been an absolute circus. I mean, it's been crazy. No, I that endears me to it. I love the Coastal Division. It's my favorite division in football, frankly. But
Have to mention, we also got an email from Roy. Now that we're talking about sort of off the topic things, this part of the show, we usually go off on wild tangents. In the ACC episode, we talked about Dave Matthews, and we were talking about rivalry games last week, and we were talking about what some of the names of the games are and also what some of the trophies are. We're talking about some of these rivalries that you don't even really think of have really cool trophies. And he mentioned one that I don't know if I've seen this before or I just forgot about it. He said, looking at all the rivalry trophies today on game day, I had to look this one up after getting a glimpse of it. I thought it was a Buffalo chip, which tells me that Roy Williams is definitely a Southerner, because I don't know that many other areas of the country would understand that term. He says, still not sure what it is. It's for Montana versus Montana State. And he sent us a picture. And if you look at it, man, it is a strange-looking trophy. It is a amorphous brown trophy with a lot of lumps on it. And it does sort of resemble a Buffalo chip.
It does? I mean, I wonder if that's what it is.
No, it's called the Great Divide Trophy. And it says the winner of each game possesses the trophy for 1 year. I love those where you know, the team gets it and they hold it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love those.
I like it too.
The school with the most wins during the trophy period will hold the trophy forever at the end of the 21st century. Dude.
Oh, wow.
That is cool. Hold it forever.
It is. Forever.
And it says, let's see. I don't really know what it is, but it's called the Great Divide Trophy, and it sort of looks like craggly rocks. I don't know if there's something. I don't know if there's a geographical something that separates these two schools. I'm not sure, but
maybe some sort of mountain.
Maybe it also looks like there's some hands or maybe like a bear claw or something.
I see hands around the front. Looks like bear claws to me too. But then it kind of looks mountainous because I don't see a face.
I'm not sure, but
you
that
see a face?
No, but you can tell from looking at it that it's got the results of each game printed on a little piece of metal all around
in front.
Presumably will be all around.
At the bottom. I see that. That's actually really cool.
And that is awesome that whoever has more at the end of the 100 actually, and it's created in 2001, so I guess that'll be 99 games. And that's how they know it won't be a tie.
Exactly.
So very, very interesting. And then the team.
Can you believe that in college football they used to have ties?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy to think
in
about.
In the NFL, they still do.
Yep, they do. In college, they quit that. Yeah, they quit that. But I hate to do overtime rule. I don't like after five, you start going for two. I don't like that.
I don't either.
Bush league. But at least there's no ties. I mean, when I was a kid, you have tie games all the time.
And the problem with tie games is that sometimes teams would play for the tie because they thought the win was out of reach for them.
A tie would benefit them in the conference or something.
Yeah,
you know,
it's so lame.
Actually, great email, Roy. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
cool.
Because I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I'd seen this before, but definitely forgot about it, even if I had seen it before. So thank you, Roy. So speaking of which, if you have any other interesting trophies, championship names, etc., hit us up with them. We're always into that sort of trivia. Blake and Greg, one word, blakeandgreg@yahoo.com. Or if you have an answer to our, kind of offbeat question about when did your team or any team you can think of, when did they turn the corner, either positively or negatively? Can you
program changing wins
or losses? Yeah. Can you point to a specific game where you're like, that was either a catalyst for what was to come or in some ways representative, like when Bama dominated Clemson in 2008, that was representative of where Bama was going to be for the next.
And just a year prior, there was a 9/11 game.
9/11. Yes.
It was like 9/11 losing the directional school from Louisiana, I think it was. And the next year, the Clemson game happens, and bam, they're back.
Right.
And there's all kinds of examples. We talk about more in the ACC podcast, more in depth with it, but there's all kinds of examples about that, about those games for Florida State, South Carolina, LSU maybe.
Clemson.
Clemson is another one.
Virginia Tech was a good example too.
Tech, yeah.
I mentioned Tennessee.
I mentioned
Tennessee in the ACC, and I mentioned ACC or Miami in the ACC episode as well. Those are not quite. I don't feel quite as strongly about those, but maybe. And your Texas and Texas Tech was a pretty good example.
For Clemson, because Clemson has two separate eras, by the way.
Yes.
You have the era with Danny Ford in the '80s, and then you have the era of Dabo Sweeney. Now, which started like in 2011-12-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the era with Danny Ford started in 1981, won the national championship. And then he was fired or quit or something happened with Ford, and he quit, and they hired Ken Hatfield. The game that also put, I think, Clemson on the other side, going the other way, was they lost to Cal in the Citrus Bowl in 1991, I think, and got blown out, like 37-10 or something. And after that, they weren't the same. Up until Tommy came in kind of got on the right track in 2000 or whatever. But it took Dabo to get him back to where, win ACCs. You're talking about a 20-year stretch, and that started, in my opinion, in the Citrus Bowl of 1991 season, whatever that was.
That's precisely what I'm talking about. Games like that where you can point to and you can say, that's what either started it, or that's what's representative of where they ended up.
It was the 91 season against Cal, and I think it was a Citrus Bowl, but it may be like the Hall of Fame Bowl or something, but one of those bowls in Florida. Look it up.
That
was the start of the
Fair enough.
And then it took 20 years to get Dabo, you come in and cheat and build it back up. So.
And take money from New Spring under the table.
New Spring and, lie and all that, all he does and all that, so... It took him 20 years to get to that level. Because I guess some of the guys, Tommy is cared about jet skiing.
That's all he cared about.
Jet skiing.
Jet skiing and getting paid, and he did both.
Yep.
So, listeners, appreciate you guys listening. Again, check out the ACC podcast if you're into that sort of thing. And if you have any answers for our questions, feel free, drop us a line with any sort of football trivia or questions that you have. like we said in the ACC podcast, hope you guys enjoy this weekend. Hopefully you get to spend it with your family, relaxing, watching football. Please be safe. Yep. Drive safe, travel safe, however it is you're getting to where you're going. And we look forward to next week discussing these games we predicted and also the championship games from both the ACC and the SEC. Blake, got anything to say?
No, it's been a pleasure, man.
Indeed. And we'll be back here this time next week to wrap up the season before the postseason officially starts.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Enjoyed it, man.